Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or seeking to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and Psych Reg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as clinical psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back. Richard, today we're going to talk about a problem that our, well, it's a problem primarily in our country, right? We're seeing in...
It's happening in other countries, but it's not unique to the United States, but it probably began here, and it certainly is a problem here.
Yeah, the idea of perpetual adolescence.
And I have to tell you something. I'm probably going to talk a lot this morning on this one.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, I'm really glad we're talking about this topic.
I know you thought that, but and I don't know why. But no, I'm going to talk a lot.
Okay.
All right, here we go. Just a warning to everybody. Why did I do that?
Yeah. What is that? You're like all like stacking your papers. Walter Cronkite.
you move your keyboard.
I do.
Just it's comparable.
So the article that we're talking about today is called Perpetual Adolescence.
And this is that whole notion of failure to launch.
Right. And it's from Psychology Today, and it's written by Dr. William Mace. And it just came out just at the end of last month. And so it's all about the idea of this ongoing adolescence that lasts into adulthood.
That's right. That we keep stretching it out.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
12 or maybe longer than that, 15 years ago, Newt Gingrich. You all remember Newt Gingrich?
I do.
Bill Clinton's adversary.
Yes.
In the Congress. Wrote an article called The Myth of Adolescence. And in the article, he argued, he put it in Business Week, I think. In the article, you can tell by the title, he argued that adolescence is a myth. There's no reason why 17, 18-year-old people should not be acting and living and behaving like adults. And he said, and then he used the examples of Benjamin Franklin, who was writing articles and was a printer before he was 20. John Adams, who was Secretary of State at age 23. Daniel Boone, who was leading people into the wilderness at 14 or 15.
And killed him a bear.
And killed him a bear when he was only three. That was Davy Crockett.
Oh, that was Davy Crockett. Yeah. Not who?
Daniel Boone.
Not Daniel Boone. Okay. Boone made knives.
He did. I guess. That was Jim Bowie. But
all those guys were the same people, though.
They were all
the
same person.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Same actor played him on TV.
That's right.
Bess Parker. So
that's exactly what I was thinking.
So you have all these, the Amish, for example. Mm-hmm. By the time Amish boys are 16 or 17 years old, they're master carpenters working alongside the men in the village. Mm-hmm. So Gingrich argues that adolescence itself is a myth. Mm-hmm. I don't think it is. Biologically, it's an event in all mammals. Mm-hmm. So there's some transformation that occurs during adolescence. Have we stretched it out? Maybe we have. Because if you stay in school, you remain dependent. I mean, it's pretty hard to go to school full-time and support yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You and I did that.
Right.
We don't expect a 13 or 14-year-old to be able to
do
that.
Right.
And if you go to college, again, between 18 and 22, you tend to be dependent upon your parents. It's pretty hard for any kid that age to put himself through school. Can be done.
Right.
But if you go to college right after high school, you probably remain dependent. So yes, we have stretched it out. What this article does is it begins with this new book, and I've seen a couple references to this book written by I think he's a congressman.
Senator.
Is he a senator?
Ben Sass.
Ben, is it Sass or Sassy? I'm not sure how to pronounce his name. Has written a book called The Vanishing American Adult.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's where this author... Dr. Mace begins with that book.
Right. Yeah. Well, I think that I got distracted because my first thought was that name is not too dissimilar from what Newt Gingrich wrote.
That's right.
And I think that you're right in that we know biologically that there's a difference between adolescence and adulthood.
Right.
And childhood.
That's right. Childhood to adulthood, you have to go through this transition.
And that transition is what we call adolescence.
Adolescence.
Right. Now, when people mention those individuals like John Adams and Daniel
Thomas
Boone,
Jefferson was 26 when he wrote the Declaration of Independence.
Right. The reason that those people are known and the reason that those people are highlighted in history and everything is because they were different than everyone else.
They were the outliers.
Right.
I mean, there's a reason we have the term outliers.
Right. Congress wasn't made up of 23-year-olds.
No. No.
He was a 23-year-old, or, you know, there were a couple who were, because life was different then and because things were different, but because those were outliers. There's a, I read an article, this was years ago, that there was a mayor, I want to say, in a city out in the Midwest, I think, who was 18.
Right. That's right.
So can it be done? Absolutely, it can be done.
I think Adam Putnam was 23. He was the youngest member of Congress when he was there. He's from our district.
Right.
And I think he was 23 when he was first elected to Congress.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's it can be done, but the reason that we look at those as examples is because they are outliers.
That's
right. For every one of them, there are millions who aren't.
That's right. That's right. There was one, LeBron James.
Right.
Okay. Or Kobe Bryant. These guys who can leave high school and go to the pros. They're outliers.
Right.
The overwhelming, as you say, thousands or millions can't do that.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. So the idea of using these individuals as examples of this mythical adolescence,
right,
it is really a sort of false.
It is. It is. It's an alternative fact.
Oh, there's a good use of
bringing it
alternative
to the current
facts.
Jargon.
That's right.
Fake news. Right.
So it's not.
It's not the example.
It's not
an example. That's not the exemplar
right.
of what we're talking about. Now, is Ben Sasse or Sasse? And I apologize to you if I don't get it right. Is he correct in saying that we have a problem here?
Right.
Okay. What I don't like is that in Sasse's book, is that the first thing he does is he blames parents.
Right.
Okay. Everybody does that.
Right.
First we blame the parents.
It's gotta be
and
the
then
parents'
who do we blame
fault.
Second?
Teachers.
The school system.
Yes.
Right. It's the parents' fault. It's the school system's fault.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
It's much more complicated than that.
Absolutely.
So, and many of us parents are struggling with this idea of how do we get our children to be independent by age 18?
Right.
So it is a problem that many of us face. How do you get children to be independent by age 18? But to reduce it to the parents are screwing up or to say it's the public school's fault is also wrong.
Right.
Okay. And that's the discussion that we need to have is it is a problem, but there are many causes that are contributing to it.
Right. Yeah. And I think, you know, we think about, we try to give examples of people who, you know, who aren't doing anything. They're still living with their parents. They're still, you know, they go to college and they get degrees that aren't useful.
That's right.
So everybody, I'm going to use this specific example, but we think of STEM, right? The one of the ideas of STEM education, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, and they said, you know, that's the future. We need schools that focus on STEM because that's where all the jobs are. Well, I remember in the mid-1990s, I was working in a laboratory, and in that laboratory, our IT guy had a bachelor's degree in engineering, and he was working on our computers.
Mm-hmm. With a degree in engineering?
With a degree in, more specifically, aerospace engineering.
Wow.
Aerospace engineering. And he was working computers because he couldn't get a job. And so when we think about, we need to get better education, we need to, you know, it's the parents' fault. Many people go to college, further their education, get degrees, get training, but can't find work in their field. And so what would they do?
Right.
You know, they do go back home. And so it is much more complex than just saying, well, the parents are, you know, being overly nurturing or they're being too giving to their kids. They're not making their kids gain this independence. There is some of that.
Right.
But it's not just that as a problem.
That's right. The other thing the author says is we are an adolescent-centered culture.
Right.
That adolescent, the adolescent mindset, mm-hmm. the adolescent customs, mores, beliefs, have taken over the culture.
Right.
But I think he's talking about popular culture.
Right.
You know, on TV, it may be driven by mm-hmm. adolescents because that's who they're appealing to because right. that's who's buying the products.
Right.
Okay. What we have to remember is that prior to World War II, adolescence was shorter.
Mm-hmm.
The reason it became a demographic mm-hmm. is when we built large high schools. Prior to World War II, most kids didn't go to high school.
Right.
The only people who went to high school were people who were going to go to college.
Right.
My father wasn't going to go to college.
That was so the purpose of high schools.
That's why you went to high school.
The purpose of the invention of what we call high schools was to get people prepared for college.
That's right. Compulsory education wasn't mandated until after World War I, 1918,
yeah.
before we even had compulsory education. And the only people who went to high school usually were wealthy people who intended to send their children to college.
Right.
And so you had this high school curriculum, which was, by design, a college preparatory curriculum.
Right.
Okay. Once you learned how to read and write and do basic math, you could leave school because you were going to go to work
right.
in one of the many factories that existed at that time. Well, right before World War II, and certainly after World War II, we began to build these large high schools.
Mm-hmm.
The term teenager was an invention of advertisers
right.
because they suddenly saw this demographic that they hadn't noticed before
right.
because they were scattered all over. Well, when we built these big factory-like high schools, suddenly advertisers saw this this market,
right?
You know, and they called them teenagers. And mm-hmm. I think that was in the 40s when that name was first used. So it's fairly recent, well, recent for me.
You were a teenager then?
No, but I was probably using my share of oxygen in the 40s. We'll discuss that later, however. No, it was an invention, came around in the 40s, and so we have this demographic.
Right,
okay,
right.
But that's the first time that we've been talking. So it didn't start in the mm-hmm. in this century. It started way back in the 40s.
Right.
And then we had the baby boom generation that followed World War II, and that's when it really, the adolescent really took over because it was just such a huge part of the population
right.
that just by its very size, it was noticed and it was influential.
Garnered attention. Because
that's right, just because of its size.
Right.
And so now we have baby boomers producing children, so now we have another large demographic.
Mm-hmm.
So in that regard, he's right. But to say that we are caught, that we are just adolescents, isn't the fault of parents and schools. It's a larger cultural issue.
Yeah, I think that another aspect of this is that there we have more today than I think probably ever before in our history.
Right.
The idea of perpetual youth in general.
That's the issue.
You know,
youth.
Baby boomers, you know, what do we all often hear? You know, 50 is the new 30.
That's right.
You know, and so when we hear things like that, what we're saying is that we're all attempting to live life as though we were much younger.
That's right.
And because of advances in healthcare and some of the things like that, we can.
And cosmetics.
Right, right. And so we have this situation where we are attempting to live younger lives, and so we're finding interest and we're getting engaged in more and more adolescent-like activities and topics and mm-hmm. interests because that reflects to us
That's
youth.
Right. And I throw out, absolutely everybody knows somebody where the mother is trying to look like her daughter.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a phenomenon that we deal with today, is
right.
that many mothers want to look like their daughters. They
right.
want to wear the same kind of clothes and have the same hairstyles. They want to look young.
Mm-hmm.
Young is attractive.
Mm-hmm.
That's also a fact, but has nothing to do with the late adolescence.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So you're right. The issue is not adolescence. The issue is youth. People want to look young.
Right.
They want to act young.
Right.
Right. They want to be vigorous. I mean, that's what all the Viagra and it's all about being younger than you really are.
Right. Yeah. And if you even look at those commercials and stuff,
they're
you have older men
mm-hmm.
and their partners are younger women. And so you have this phenomenon of attempting to be more youthful and everything. And so
your problem is low T.
Low T.
Right? I mean, how many commercials have we seen? It's low T. Why? Because when you're 50, you don't have as much testosterone as when you're 20.
Right. And that's why you don't have as much energy and you're not having as much fun and life isn't as grand.
That's right. That's not delayed adolescence.
Right.
Okay. So it's a larger issue than this book or Gingrich or any of these people who say, oh, this is all a myth and we're just babying these kids along.
Right.
Okay. It's more than that.
Right. That is happening, but it's more than that.
That's right. Now, is that happening? Yes. Is it a problem? Yes. And we're going to tackle that problem with another book?
Yeah. Raising an Emotionally Healthy Adult.
That's right. So there are things that we should do.
Right. We're working on that.
To get our children ready for adulthood.
Right.
Okay. Yes, it is. This author, so Sassy blames parents and schools. Mace blames Big Pharma.
Right.
So again, let's figure out who we want to blame. So this psychologist blames it on the medical model and Big Pharma. He says the problem is we have medical model. He said the problem is insurance companies and the drug companies have conspired to make everything a biological problem. Okay. And that he said that we have to abandon this notion of biologically based depression, anxiety, and all that, because these are not really real problems. We all have these struggles as we're going, and you have to grow up and get hold of yourself.
Right.
Okay. That's also not the solution.
Right. Yeah, we did a podcast back, I think it went out on May 23rd, called Whose Fault Is It?
That's right.
And this idea that we have to place blame on somebody.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be somebody's fault.
Right.
Big Pharma's fault, or it's the parents' fault, or it's the school's fault.
It's insurance companies.
No,
yeah.
It's everything, all right? Instead of figuring out whose fault it is, let's just fix the problem.
Right.
And we fix the problem by holding our kids accountable, by giving them responsibility, by encouraging them and setting up the environment so that they have to develop and they have to reach adulthood by the time they're 18.
That's right.
You know, I mean, how many 17-year-olds do we know that can't fix their own meal?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how are you going to expect your child to leave your home and go to college or go work in the, wherever, and have their own place if they can't fix their own meal?
That's right. If they're not cleaning up their own messes, if they don't know how to take care of a house, clean bathrooms.
I mean, it should make obvious sense that that's right. So we have to start that early.
Right. And the other thing we have to remember is that there are many 18-year-olds who are quite ready to become independent.
Okay? Right.
So it's not like an epidemic.
Right.
Maybe more than we want, but somebody's doing it right somewhere, because there are 18-year-olds who are going to go off to college or work in the fall or the military in the fall, and they're going to do quite well. They're going to be completely independent and self-sufficient. Okay. So what do we do about kids who aren't being launched?
Right.
And if you're in a family where none of the kids are launching, then maybe it's something the parents are doing.
Right.
But if you're in a family where two out of three launch and the other one doesn't, then it's not the parents. I mean, it's hard to blame the parents or the schools, because it's maybe something about this child.
Right.
So
And even using the statistics they have in this article, 75% of kids are going out and doing their own thing.
Say that again.
75%.
That's right.
He says, one quarter of Americans between the ages of 25 and 29 now live with their parent. Okay, that stinks.
Yeah, that's bad. Maybe.
But that means that 75% are doing okay.
That's right. That's right.
So it's not an epidemic. It's not a...
I do a lot of talks on adolescents with teenagers and adolescents. But the fact of the matter is that 80% get through adolescence and do just fine. Okay, we're only talking about 20%.
Right.
Who are struggling.
Right, and of those 25% that are living with their parents, again, how many of those are impaired in some way, can't live independently because of some physical or intellectual mental impairment or something? Right. How many of them attempted, but because for reasons that we were just talking about, can't get a job or can't manage things because the market, the economy just isn't adequate.
Right.
So once you start whittling it down, we're down to probably 10 to 15%.
That's right.
Who is really what we're talking about.
And another way to look at it is how many are living with their parents at 30?
Right.
It probably shrinks dramatically. Right. So, yeah, they're getting in there a little bit later, but they are getting on their own eventually.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, so be careful with these.
Yeah.
This call to arms that
right.
we have this massive problem. It's a problem in some families.
Yeah.
And it's a problem if your child gets to 21 or 22 mm-hmm. or 23 and still isn't moving toward independence.
Right.
That's a problem. But it's not, I don't think it's because of the schools. I don't think it's because of parents. It's a problem, but we have to figure out why. Like you
right.
say, why is he there?
Right.
Is he there because he just doesn't feel like getting a job
mm-hmm.
or he needs a year or two to get his life together?
Right.
Big difference.
Yeah, big difference. So, all right, that's it for today. Have a great day. Kick your kids out when they're 18. It'll be fine.
They'll be fine wandering the streets.
That's right.
No, don't do that.
No.
People say, oh, well, just kick them out. No, you don't kick your kids out.
No.
Okay, be gentle. If you have the problem, you're not sure what to do with this, give us a call. We can talk about it.
Absolutely. So, all right. So until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, forget to be afraid.